Well, good evening. I think this mic is on. It's a blessing to preach to the home crowd here. I always think of Sunday night as kind of the home crowd. So it's a blessing to have the Arthurs and Andersons here. I'm used to looking at them, but there's a lot more faces here, and that's fine. That's what we're praying for in Mineral Point, but it is a blessing to serve the Lord up there. How many of you have never been to Point Baptist Church for something or another? Okay, so you're next on the list. Everybody else has been up there for something or another, so you're welcome to come up, but maybe not all at once, right, Pastor? So kind of spread it out, but hopefully you get a vision of what the Lord wants to do there and what He is doing there, and it's exciting to be involved in the Lord's work. And I never anticipated working in Mineral Point. I hadn't really even heard of it until a few years ago. And so here I am. But it's a great blessing to work with the Arthurs, to be up there, to get to know some of the people in the town. We were just talking with the Arthurs' neighbor yesterday, and you've heard the name Donnie Williams. We've been talking and praying for him, and who knows who else? You know, some of the people that have visited have just showed up. You know, nobody personally invited them. They just, heard it from someone else, or they've seen the church before driving by and decided to stop in. So I think this church, you know, it started in a funeral home or something, and something like that. Savings and loan. Okay, so then it went to a funeral home, and I don't know why that was, but here it is. And, you know, what God can do in a church, you know, He promised that He will build the church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. So, you know, if you're involved in a local church ministry, whatever it is, you don't have to be the pastor, you don't have to be in a prominent position, but if you're involved in the local church that preaches the Bible, you're involved with something that God has promised will succeed. So get involved whatever way you can. But also being involved in the ministry has shown me just how much I need the Lord, not only as my Savior, but as my sustainer. And I want to invite you each to take your Bibles and turn with me to John chapter 6. It's not a missionary passage per se, but it's a passage actually that the Lord brought to mind while we were studying the I Am statements of Jesus Christ in the Kids Club ministry. And in John chapter 6, I'm going to begin reading in verse 25, but in this passage we have the statement Jesus made, I am the bread of life. And we're going to look at what that means. And we'll begin reading in verse 25 of John chapter 6. You can follow along with me. And when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, when camest thou hither? Jesus answered them and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me, not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him hath God the Father sealed. Then they said unto him, What shall we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, This is the work of God, that ye believe on him who he hath sent. They said therefore unto him, What sign showest thou then, that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven, and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. What a statement by the Lord. When the nation of Israel was wandering in the wilderness back in the time of Moses, God provided food for them to eat. It was the manna from heaven. It was not made by man. It wasn't prepared by man. It was simply given by God from heaven. You could say it just fell from the sky. It literally did. And little did the Jews know at that time that the manna from heaven was a picture of the living manna that Jesus would one day send from heaven as described in this passage. And that response they had back there at Exodus, 1,500 years before this, about 1,500 years before this story took place, was by and large the same response that these Jews had. They just didn't believe it. You know, some of the Jews back in, under Moses' leadership, when the manna came, they complained and they just let some of it out there to rot. And it's kind of a picture, a precursor of how the Jews were to respond to the living manna. They didn't believe in him. And as I was reading this passage, you know, it comes on the tales of Jesus feeding the 5,000 when he broke the 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Of course, a miracle. Nobody could do that except from God. And Jesus tells them when he first sees them, he says, "You're not coming to me because you believe on me for the miracles. You're coming to me because you had your stomachs filled and you liked that feeling." I mean, we all like our stomachs filled, don't we? That's something that we can all relate to. But they were missing the point. Jesus was offering them bread from heaven that would give them eternal life. And they didn't realize that. They just wanted their stomachs filled again. They thought, well, that was a good, you know, that this guy broke the 5 loaves and 2 fishes. We were all filled. We all like a good meal. Jesus said to that response, "I am the bread of life." And what Jesus meant is, "I will satisfy." Bread, of course, is kind of used representatively of food that we eat physically to satisfy our body, to give us energy, to give us strength. And Jesus, as the bread of life, spiritually, is the one who gives us life at all. Without him, there is no life. And the Jews, you know, they were only thinking in the spiritual mindset. They were just thinking, we want our stomachs filled. But Jesus was the manna from heaven that gave eternal life. And how many of us have seen God do miraculous things in our life? He's given us salvation, I trust. He's our Savior. We've maybe prayed and we've seen him do miraculous, answer miraculous prayers that we can attribute only to God. But yet, how many of us tonight are not completely satisfied with Jesus Christ, the bread of life? I want to look at 3 reasons tonight why, from our text, why the Jews were not satisfied with Jesus. I know, I understand that this is primarily a passage dealing with the Jews who were not willing to believe on Jesus Christ as their Savior. But I think there are many parallels even with Christians who get caught up with the world. They don't apply 1 John 2:15, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world." And so we have a lot of Christians in this church and a lot of churches that, instead of being satisfied with Jesus Christ, seek fulfillment for other things. And we're going to look at 3 reasons why these Jews, why this group of people came to Jesus just seeking to be filled physically. Why didn't they get it? First of all, the Jews sought Jesus for the wrong reasons. You ever come to Jesus, pray for the wrong reasons? Sometimes we might come to church, wear the right clothes, talk the right language, because we want to be accepted by other people. And we're not coming to be satisfied from the living manna from heaven. We're coming because we want everybody to think something that we're not. We could come with the wrong motives. You know, the Jews here in this story came to Jesus because they wanted their stomachs filled. Jesus even told them in verse 26, "Ye seek me not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled." He knew. He could see right through them. He knew that why they were coming was not because they wanted to believe on Jesus as their Savior. They were coming to get their stomachs filled. In May of 1846, 187 men, women, and children left from Missouri in a wagon train headed to California. There was nothing exceptional about the group or this journey, and we probably would never have known them if they hadn't made the decision to try a shortcut. You ever tried a shortcut before? I've heard the statement, "Dad, our vacation starts when Dad says I know a shortcut." Well, this shortcut did not turn out very well. The Hastings Cutoff, as it was known, was indeed a shorter route to their destination, but it had only been tried on horseback. No wagon train had ever made the journey. This group was known as the Donner Party, and they would not complete the journey. This group is famous because of allegations of cannibalism that occurred within the group while waiting for rescue. We find this thought repugnant, thinking, boy, we would never eat that. We would never want to think about that. But perhaps it would be more accurate to say, I've never been that hungry before. And I'm sure all of us can relate to that, thinking, boy, we would never want to be in that situation. But we've probably no one here has ever been that hungry to the point where they would literally die. And if you think about that in the physical realm, the craving for hunger, I'm sure all of the growing boys out here and the moms can relate with boys who, 30 minutes after they eat a full meal are back in the cupboards again digging around for something to eat. Because that's natural. We desire food. But imagine 3 months without having food. What would you do? Translate that into the spiritual realm. And think of all the souls here in Mequonago and Mineral Point, all across the world, who are dying with no spiritual satisfaction because they have never partaken of the bread of life. And yet we as Christians who have the bread of life, who have the one that satisfies our every need, don't tell other people, don't get involved with sowing, don't invest our lives into other people because we're too caught up with money, our possessions, our schedules. We can't devote a time to take the gospel just across the street to our neighbors, to their coworkers, to the people that need the gospel, who are in desperate need, who are empty inside. And yet, we have that responsibility, but how many of us are actually fulfilling that responsibility? You know, the theme of the conference is so little time. How many of us actually know how much time we have? None of us. Even if we did live the full term of our life, maybe 80 years, 90 years, the Bible still says our life is but a vapor. So even if we live to be 90 years old, what is that in comparison to eternity? And honestly, none of us know when our last breath is going to be. So in reality, all of us have so little time. But what are we doing? Are we being satisfied with the things of this world? Think about it. What is it in your life that is more important than giving other people the only thing that will satisfy their spiritual needs? Giving to them the one who can give them eternal life. What is more important than that? Is it really worth it to hold on to the things of this world, to pursue things that are going to die with your body? Things that you'll never take into eternity. What's more important? The Jews sought Jesus for the wrong reasons. And, we have the promise in the Beatitudes, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they will be filled. A lot of people hunger and thirst after putting their time in at church. A lot of people hunger and thirst for other things, but righteousness is the only thing that if we pursue, we have the promise that we will be filled. So if you wonder, why does my life feel empty? Maybe you're saved here tonight, and you wonder, well, why does my life feel empty? Why I'm not doing anything for God? Well, maybe it's because, like these Jews, you sought Jesus for the wrong reasons. Not that he's not your Savior, not that you don't love him, but what are you doing? What ministry are you involved in? Who are you investing your life in? Secondly, these Jews were not satisfied with Jesus because they failed to remember God's provision. We're a people that are prone to forget, right? We forget that God can supply all our needs, and we worry. We wonder, is God really concerned about my condition? Can God really meet this need? Turn to Exodus chapter 16 is the account where Jehovah fed the Israelites in the wilderness. And Exodus chapter 16, beginning in verse 11, we have that account that even those Jews reference when they talked about their fathers being fed in the wilderness with manna. Exodus 16, 11. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel. Speak unto them, saying, at even ye shall eat flesh. In the morning ye shall be filled with bread, and ye shall know that I am the Lord your God. And it came to pass that at even the quails came up and covered the camp, and in the morning the dew lay round about the host. And when the dew that lay was gone up, behold, upon the face of the wilderness there lay a small round thing, as small as the hoarfrost on the ground. And when the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, it is manna. For they wist not what it was. And Moses said unto them, this is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat. That manna, they had nothing to do with it, really. They didn't prepare it. They didn't cook it. It was literally given from God. And that is the picture of Jesus given from God. God sent his Son to the world to be the Savior of the world. But, you know, salvation is more than just, you know, not going to hell for all of eternity. Salvation is ultimately in heaven in the presence of God. But from that time, that the moment that you're born again, to the time that the Lord takes you home, how does your salvation play out in that time period? You know, what is it supposed to look like? Well, the prayer, in the model prayer, Jesus said, give us this day our daily bread. And of course, it's a reference to the Lord's provision physically. The Lord even is concerned about our physical day-to-day needs. But what about the spiritual bread? When was the last time you were so desperate that you recognized, I need God today? When was the last time you woke up and realized, you know what, I can't live the Christian life. I can't do this in my own strength. I have to have God. When were you so desperate as, like when you have a physical hunger pain, when were you that desperate in the spiritual sense for God to come in and take over your life? I would, you know, even in my own life, that's a convicting thought. Because we're so good at doing things in our own strength, at doing things, you know, with our own power. We have the physical ability so we can do it, and we need to, we need to use our physical abilities, but in the spiritual realm, without God, we can do nothing. And that bread of life that was given down day after day is the same as Jesus in the spiritual sense. Evermore, give us this bread. Day after day, the Lord is there by our side, ready to help us, willing to give us boldness to open our mouth and declare the gospel to some person at the store or our neighbor. He's there willing to give us victory if we would simply recognize our need for that. And that's what the Israelites back in the wilderness, they had really nothing to do with the manna coming down from heaven. But there it was, God's provision. Going back to John chapter 6, we see the second point here is that the Jews failed to remember God's provision. God had supplied that manna in the wilderness back in Exodus chapter 16. And here these Jews wanted a sign to show that Jesus was from heaven, but they would not believe his words when he said, I am that bread of life. Thus, the Jews went away confused and unsatisfied. These Jews, they still didn't get it. Look at verse 41 of John chapter 6. The Jews then murmured at him because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. You know, you can just hear their confusion. Like, the bread that came down from heaven, that happened like 1,500 years ago. What is he talking about? And they said, is not this Jesus the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, I came down from heaven? And then Jesus responds to them. So they're still confused, even after Jesus explained to them, I am that bread of life. I am the one who comes to satisfy your needs. Nothing else is going to satisfy. You know, all your good works, the fact that you're a Jew, those are fine, but they're not going to give you eternal life. They're not going to give you fulfillment. And we have a whole world in the countries of the flags represented here and in all the countries around the world of people who are in need of somebody to go give them that bread of life. Some of them don't even have bread physically. But you could give them something that is a far greater need, and that is the bread that satisfies a hungry, empty soul. Just remember when, you know, some of you were saved relatively later in life, and you remember back when, you know, you were unsaved, and the emptiness, the things that you pursued that brought no satisfaction. And now you have the bread of life. But we are a people that are prone to forget God's provision. The fact that God saved us in and of itself is something that ought to remind us that we have somebody always looking out for us. Sometimes it feels like we're all alone. Sometimes it feels like nobody really cares. You know, what does my life matter? You know, I'm not famous. Nobody knows me, so what does it matter? But God knows you. And he knows your exact need for that day, for that hour. But sometimes we get so caught up in our own pity parties that we fail to look to God, who is the bread of life, who gives us life, who sustains us day by day. And we can have this pity party and feel sorry for ourselves and be discouraged and think, you know, what is the purpose of life? Well, if you have Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have that bread of life. Don't forget what God has done for you. Is Jesus no longer able to satisfy? As a Christian, your Savior, the one who died for you, is he no longer able to satisfy? Is there something else that you are pursuing that appears to satisfy, but only temporarily? That's a danger that all of us have, and we see that's exactly what these Jews had. They forgot, you know, this, you know, they were completely confused when Jesus talked to them about the manna that God gave them in the wilderness. And then he said, I am the bread of life. Believe in me. And that leads me to the third thing that the Jews failed to recognize, why they were not satisfied with Jesus. And that is, the Jews desired satisfaction, but they did not believe on him who satisfies. And of course, they didn't believe on Jesus as their Messiah, their Savior. They wanted to be satisfied. They came to Jesus, but he said, remember, you've not come because you saw me do the miracles, not because you think I'm the Son of God, but because you were there when you got your stomachs filled. And that's why they came. And they desired satisfaction. They knew that they were empty, but they didn't put their faith in Jesus Christ. And if you're here tonight without Jesus Christ as your Savior, you'll never find anything else that satisfies until you look to Jesus Christ. These Jews, they didn't get it. And the same holds true today. Unless you look to Jesus Christ by faith, unless you recognize that, yes, Jesus Christ is the only one that can satisfy, you'll be searching the rest of your life all in vain. And until it's too late, then you'll realize he was the one that satisfies. But if you're here tonight and you have trusted in Jesus Christ as your Savior, which I trust is most of you, we are also prone to desiring satisfaction but finding fulfillment in the things of the world. Right? 1 John 2:15, I already quoted it, but how easy it is for us, even in, from day to day, to desire things that you know aren't going to satisfy, but you recognize that Jesus Christ is really the only one that can satisfy. And probably here tonight, everybody would say, I have the desire to be satisfied. You could be a young person, a parent, a child, an older person. Your desire is, I want to be satisfied. You know, why else would we come to church? I mean, we could come for the wrong reasons, like we already talked about, but I suspect that most people here tonight have come looking or seeking to hear from God, seeking to have a question in their soul answered, seeking to have a need met that only Jesus can meet. But there's a difference between desiring satisfaction, wanting satisfaction, and actually believing in the one who can satisfy. And that is Jesus Christ. So even if you are saved, recognize that Jesus Christ is still the only one that can satisfy. All that is in the world passes away, but he that does the will of God abideth forever. To those who are believers, have you lost your satisfaction in Jesus? Just because you are saved doesn't guarantee the fact that, oh, you know, I'm always satisfied. Every day I wake up, I'm just happy in Jesus. And, you know, there's never a problem in my life. I never have to struggle with sin. That's not the case for any of us. We have to wake up and make a decision. What is going to be my satisfaction today? And when we realize that Jesus Christ is the only one that satisfies, and we take the theme of our conference, So Little Time, and we put the two together, we recognize there are millions of people, thousands of people right in this area who need satisfaction, who are looking to drugs and alcohol and all sorts of things that will they think will satisfy. And yet we have no concern for that. Why is that? You know, why would we know that people are dying and going to hell, but not do anything about it? Do you think in some way we're like the Jews who they come to Jesus, they saw the miracles, but they didn't really want him to satisfy? Is Jesus Christ really the satisfaction of your life? Well, how do you know that you are satisfied with Jesus? That's kind of, that could be kind of a vague concept. Well, is there anything you would not let God take out of your life? Anything you're not willing to give up? Not even something bad, but maybe a phone, maybe a job, maybe a friend. What is it? Ask yourself, if there was something that I have right now taken away, you know, sometimes when we have something taken away, we realize the value of it or how much that we're dependent on it. You know, some people have nothing. Some people don't have a job to depend on. Some people don't have all the technology to depend on. They don't have cars. They don't have houses. They don't have wealth. They don't have a family. But we have been blessed with so many things that can steal away our heart and not be satisfied with the one who has given us all those things, including our salvation. So, are you satisfied with Jesus? What is it that you would say, you know what, maybe nobody else would know, but you'd say, you know what, if that weren't a part of my life, if I couldn't have that, I would be really upset. You know, I wouldn't want to live for God. I wouldn't be coming to church. That's a good indicator of how much we are satisfied with Jesus Christ. And there was a young missionary to the Maka Indians, and he was recently had gone to the field in Paraguay, and he was eating in his house one day and noticed a young Indian boy who just came and sat on his porch. And he saw the young boy there and went out and asked him, is there something I can give you? Is there something you need? And the boy replied that he didn't need anything. He just wanted to be by the missionary because he knew he loved him. And I think that's often where, you know, we can view ourselves as that young Indian boy. Probably didn't have friends, probably didn't have any money, but he knew that missionary was somebody that loved him. And we have a friend, his name is Jesus. And when we're not satisfied to just be in his presence, that tells us there's something wrong. And I'm sure in a crowd this size, knowing my own heart, that there's people here tonight who are finding satisfaction in other things other than in Jesus Christ. And maybe your need is salvation. Maybe you've never turned to Jesus Christ as your Savior. Maybe you're a young person contemplating, which way should I go in my life? Is it really worth it to serve God? Is it really worth it to live for God? And maybe tonight you need to respond to God and say, I'm going to give you my life to do whatever you want. Because there's nothing else in this life that is going to satisfy more than living for Jesus Christ. Maybe you're a parent. Who knows? And maybe your children know. And maybe your husband or your wife know, or your family, they know that, well, they're not really satisfied with Jesus Christ. You know, they don't have their devotions. You know, I don't know. But maybe that's a reflection, a characteristic of your life. And no matter what stage we are, no matter how much we have to admit, it's going to take humility. That's what it takes to admit we need Jesus Christ. You know, as human beings, we like to be self-sufficient. We like to think that we got it all under control. And for us to say, I need something, not just I want something for the wrong motives, but I need Jesus. You know, if all of us as Christians were at that stage where we said, I need Jesus more than anything else, more than a good education, more than a good paying job, more than the sports and all that has to offer. If we as a church decided we need Jesus more than anything, that phrase, so little time, I think would have much more impact. There would be much more activity for doing the things of God, dedicating lives to things that are really going to accomplish something for eternity rather than just living for our own self-gratification. Because when we recognize that Jesus is the only thing that satisfies, not only for my life, for my neighbor, for my coworker, who's empty, who's never heard somebody give them the gospel presentation before, but God put me next to them so that I can tell them there is satisfaction in Jesus. But maybe our witness is silenced because we haven't been finding that satisfaction in the bread of life day by day. And there's something in our life that needs to be corrected where we just say, God, I need you. Something as simple as that. And maybe there's something specific that the Lord has put his finger on saying, you know what, this has become more dear to you than your Savior. This cause has become more dear to you than the cause of Jesus Christ. And the only solution for that is to cry out to God saying, God, I want you. I need you more than anything else. And be willing to give that thing up in place for the one who really satisfies. And how this world, how this church, how our missionaries that we support and pray for, how their ministries would be impacted by us just simply saying, you know what? There's a lot this world has to offer, but it's all going to stay here. And I'm going to instead give my life for the one who gave his life for me. Let's have every head bowed, every eye closed. Before we have a time of prayer, I just ask you to reflect upon your life, your soul, your relationship with God. What is really satisfying your life? Is it Jesus? Is it something, some things? Are you coming to Jesus for the wrong reasons? Have you forgotten what he's done for you? And I'm not going to ask for a raise of hands, but I'm sure if the Lord has put his finger on something in your life, you know. And when the piano plays here during the invitation, maybe you need to step forward and get that taken care of. Maybe in your pew you need to make that decision, but let's, as a people of God, as a church of God, seeking to reach the world, only be satisfied with Jesus Christ. And ask yourself, when I wake up tomorrow morning, what's going to drive me? When I go to work, I'm not talking about a car, I'm talking about what's going to be my motivation. Lord, I pray that you would take this truth, these truths that we've heard, and reflect upon our own lives and recognize how easy it is for us to become distracted, to become satisfied with things that don't really satisfy, but we think they do. And Lord, I pray that we would be in love with Jesus Christ more than anything. And I pray that that would impact our lives, that there would be young people and parents and people from any walk of life that would recognize tonight that Jesus Christ is the only one that satisfies. Lord, if there's a soul here tonight that has not partaken of the bread of life and been given eternal life through Jesus Christ, I pray that tonight they would see their need of salvation and turn to him that he alone can satisfy. That's Jesus. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.